Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and Governor Cuomo, a Democrat, made some headlines when he offered to back a Republican state Senate candidate. Why would he cross party lines and risk preserving the Republicans' thin margin of majority in the state Senate? Well, that senator was one of four Republicans who crossed party lines themselves to support gay marriage in New York, and he lost his primary seemingly because of that vote. Joining me to talk about the aftermath of that vote and where the governor's interests lie is Liz Benjamin, blogger and the host of YNN's Capital Tonight, the Upstate Politics program. Welcome back to the show, Liz. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for having me, Brian.
So that upstate Senator Roy McDonald lost his primary to a more conservative candidate, and the governor was going to support him if he ran as an independent, but now he's decided not to, right?
Right. That's correct.
And so what was the outcome for the other three Republicans who voted for gay marriage?
Yeah, interestingly, okay, so there were four, right? You've mentioned Roy McDonald, who I'm sure we'll get back to. Then there was Jim Alesi, who decided he was not going to seek re-election this fall. He sort of self-selected, if you will. But really, that decision has a lot more to do with a local issue. He actually, in a bizarre situation, was trespassing on someone's property, fell and broke his leg, and then subsequently sued those people and then withdrew the lawsuit. Very strange situation, but he just really a firestorm of anger, and he was very unpopular because of that. Yes, the same-sex marriage vote angered people. He had a potential challenge from the right, but he had a lot of ill will in his district because of his ill-fated lawsuit, which he withdrew. Okay, so that's Alesi. He's not running. Subsequently, Mark Grisanti, who we all thought was dead in the water. He's in the Buffalo area in a very Democratic district. He's actually a former Democrat himself. Hmm. He defeated Antoine Thompson, a Democrat, in the last election in one of the most Democratic-dominated districts in the state, actually. And nevertheless, he pledged at that time, apparently to African-American churches, that he would not vote yes on gay marriage and then subsequently did. We thought he'd have a big problem. He survived his GOP primary challenge, but that's a three-way race in which a Democrat is running on the conservative line. It's very confusing.
Sounds very confusing.
That situation.
Well, bottom line, did the governor promise to support the four Republicans in the state Senate who voted yes on gay marriage at the time of the vote?
I'm sorry, no. We don't know exactly what the governor said to anyone specifically, because all of these negotiations occurred behind closed doors. You know, there's one last guy that we should mention in the Hudson Valley. His name is Steve Saland. His near loss to a almost very little-known, underfunded, very, very conservative guy named Neil DiCarlo took everybody by surprise. I mean, Steve Saland just filed 10 days after the primary that he had $400,000 on hand. If he thought he was in trouble, he certainly didn't act like it.
So he's a, moderate Republican who barely squeaked through his primary. And if that's the case, then he would be a prime candidate for Cuomo to reward by supporting him if he chooses to.
You would think. And yet, the governor, first of all, he's not terribly moderate when you look at his voting record, as it turns out. His Democratic challenger was on the show with me last night and was reviewing his voting record. I mean, no on minimum wage increase, no on a hydrofracking ban, no on a lot of different things, no on the 2009 vote for same-sex marriage, yes on the final vote that actually pushed the measure over the line. So he's not a raging conservative, if you will. You wouldn't think of him as a Tea Partier. Nevertheless, the governor said yesterday when asked about this issue, these other guys won their races, and Roy McDonald lost his, and so he needed my help. But you know, then he decided not to take it, and I accept that decision. There is some cynical speculation out there that the governor sort of just made a gesture to demonstrate to the gay marriage supporters, who really hoped that Roy McDonald would run on the minor party line, that he was still on board. But I really don't know. I mean, certainly the governor hasn't said one way or the other.
So are we looking at a situation where Governor Cuomo might not actually campaign for any Republicans this time around, but not campaign for any Democrats either?
Yeah, it's really, generally speaking, with really a handful of exceptions since Andrew Cuomo took office, He has endorsed people via press release. He's kept people at arm's length. He's got a pretty good track record. He picks winners fairly well, but he's made very few in-person appearances. I can think of two county executives, Mark Poloncarz in the Buffalo, in the Erie County area, and then Suffolk County Executive Steve Ballone. They got in-person visits, but generally he does it via press release. And also he does appear at some fundraisers, but he doesn't. There's been some robocalls. I don't think there's even been that many TV ads, if any. He likes to really keep his political dealings safe, if you will. And so he's made it clear, although he's never said as much, that he prefers divided government. And, you know, he definitely thinks that he seems to think, at any rate, that the Republicans should remain in office. Look no further than the legislative redistricting plan that he signed off on after saying that he wouldn't accept anything that wasn't independent. And the one that came up was certainly not independent.
And in fact, Cuomo has faulted the Democrats for not vetoing this year's redistricting plan in the Senate, which would have sent it to the courts, where presumably less attention would have been paid to preserving the Republican majority. So maybe he's not that interested in this party completely controlling state government, as you say. Mayor Bloomberg, too, he gave a $1 million donation to the state Republicans to keep the Senate in their control. Wouldn't the mayor of New York City welcome legislative control by the, quote, New York City-dominated Senate Democrats, as the Republican Senate leader disparagingly calls them?
Yeah, you would think. I mean, look, that's not so surprising, though. I mean, Mayor Bloomberg, first of all, who's a Democrat turned Republican turned small-eye independent, a man with no party at this point, has always been sort of more liberal in his leanings. He was a supporter of same-sex marriage, an active supporter, and he's been quite clear about, you know, his various different positions that I don't think are traditionally Republican, unless it comes to fiscal conservatism, which I guess you could make an argument about. He's been the largest single individual donor to the Senate Republicans for years. Now, interestingly, they stymied him on some of his top issues, including congestion pricing and the West Side Stadium, most notably. But they did give him control of the schools and other things that he's wanted. So, you know, he's done pretty well when you look at it overall. It's not a big surprise. It was interesting that he gave money to the Independent Democratic Conference, which is this breakaway conference of four Democrats headed by Bronx Senator Jeff Klein.
Also including Diane Savino of Staten Island and David Carlucci from Rockland among the downstaters. Who are they? Are they centrist Democrats who are likely to vote with the Republican majority on things?
They almost always vote with the Republican majority on things. Not always, but pretty frequently. And it's clear that Senator Klein was stymied in his desire to be leader of the Democratic Conference. It's really a popularity contest, as much as I hate to say it, in the Democratic Conference. And the conference has been dominated by Black and Latino lawmakers who, once they broke the color barrier, if you will, or the glass ceiling with David Paterson as minority leader, have been very reluctant to give up that position. I would be shocked if John Sampson remains the minority leader or the majority leader if some crazy thing happens. But those four swing vote Democrats, those independents, could end up kingmakers after the dust settles from the November election.
And they're being supported by Mayor Bloomberg. You know, this whole idea of cross-party endorsements is interesting in our hyper-polarized world, right? Remember when Rudy Giuliani endorsed Mario Cuomo for governor over George?
Bruno called him Judas.
Right. Was there anything similar going on?
Similar in so much as the governor backing same-sex marriage voters?
No, obviously wasn't the same issue. But Rudy saw some advantage to the city, obviously.
You know, it's interesting. I mean, let's also remember Bloomberg endorsed Cuomo in 2010. I mean, certainly Bloomberg wasn't going to endorse Carl Palladino. I mean, that who was the Republican and conservative candidate, and certainly wouldn't have done very much good for New York City. I don't know necessarily that that's what's at play here. I mean, Bloomberg has always been clear. I mean, I think his sort of standard line is, "I support people who support New York City, and I don't care about party."
It's usually, I mean, one of the sad things here is that it's usually the moderates who lose their seat in swing district elections, almost by definition. They either get ousted by in a primary by somebody from the more pure wing of their party, or they're vulnerable in the general election. And the opposition party sees them as prey, not as people to be rewarded for being moderate and crossing party lines and working with them sometimes. This goes on the national level, too.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting, you know, even in a state like New York, which is so Democrat dominated, you have a situation where the religious right, which is really small in New York and yet very vocal. I spoke at length with the Reverend Jason McGuire, who heads an organization called New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms, and he told me, I don't care if by ousting these moderates and backing these hyper-conservatives, I end up with Democrats who don't support my agenda in the short term. I'm looking at the long term, and I need to teach these Republicans a lesson that they can't diss the conservative base. They can't do this, and they need to be taught. He called them rogues.
Liz Benjamin going rogue or not on her YNN Upstate Politics cable TV show, former Daily News political columnist, knows upstate and downstate, and really knows this stuff as we just heard. Really interesting. Thanks a lot, Liz.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, a call in for anyone who collects autographs. What's the allure? You will talk to Brandon Steiner, king of the collectibles, including he bought Yankee Stadium itself. Stay with us.